All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, January 28th of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a four-game NBA main slate as well as an eight-game NHL main slate, so it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the Sabersim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Good stuff there. Let's get SaberSim up. And we are just going to roll through questions that came in both YouTube chat and Office Hours channel and just hit them from the top down. So first one here from James. Do you recommend changing the correlation slider before doing a build in NBA DFS? When would you / wouldn't you? Okay, good question. So let's talk about sliders in general. So when you come in here, click this gear icon next to max salary, you're going to see our sliders, right? Four game slate, correlation is down at zero. So the sliders here are set to the values that they are set to based on the number of games on the slate. Okay, so the number of games on the slate determines the sliders, all right? We set them to what our back testing shows it is the best values for the game, for the number of games on the slate. Okay. If we thought there were better numbers for the sliders to be, we would just do it for you. It's not like, hey, you know, go and turn your correlation slider to two, like every time, right? Or anything like that. We would just do it for you, right? So as far as what the defaults are, they're very good and you don't have to change them. Okay. There's no reason to change them unless you want to. Okay. Now, when I would change it, right? Part of the question was like, when would you / wouldn't you? So in general, I wouldn't, right? The only time I would is if you're not getting something that you want. Maybe you like having more two stacks or more three stacks in your NBA lineups. Then that is a good opportunity to increase the slider. Maybe you like potential like game shootouts, right? If you turn correlation up, you might get more correlation between, you know, two shooters on opposite sides of the ball. So maybe if I like click on Maxi here and let's see, try a hard refresh, see if that helps. Or maybe like Steph Curry, but probably a little bit better example. And like maybe Curry has like some correlation to like Lauri Markkanen or something like that, right? So Curry. And yeah, like this is exactly what you see a little bit over here, right? So interesting, right? Steph Curry's highest correlation is to a shooting guard. Basically, all of his correlations are to Utah players, which is actually like really interesting. But his highest correlation is to a Utah shooting guard, right? So in the Sims, what happens is when Curry does well, or when Jordan Clarkson does well, Curry does well. And they go like back and forth shooting threes, you know, high scoring game, something like that. So if you want to like target those scenarios, then that is an opportunity to increase correlation because you're going to get more lineups with those two players, with one Golden State, one Utah, something along those lines, right? So in general, you don't need to change it. If you do want to change it, understand, you know, the impact that's going to have. And it'll probably give you more like game stack type lineup. So it doesn't seem actually here, right, that increasing correlation is going to lead to more team stacks, because remember, correlation works where it amplifies positive correlation, but it also amplifies negative correlation, right? So the higher you put correlation, the more it's going to hurt the players who are negatively correlated here, right? So on the same team, Dennis Schroeder, you know, negative 0.09 correlation. Kevon Looney, negative 0.11. Gui Santos, negative 0.14. increasing correlation slider is going to basically drive these two players farther apart, right? It's going to drive Santos and Curry farther away from each other. It's going to basically make it less, even less likely that they end up in the same lineup together. So understand how the correlation slider works. Turning correlation up will you know, raise the likelihood of players with positive being in lineups and then decrease the likelihood of players with negative being in the same lineups. So good discussion there around the correlation slider for sure. All right, next question. Meant to get this in earlier, but this is about single entry contests. I'm noticing I suck bad and lose every single entry contest by a large margin. Any tips or strategies for those contests? Okay, so in general, with single entries, it can probably feel like you're losing a lot, okay? But in reality, you're probably not losing that much, right? So the big thing here is to understand, you know, basically like put the payout structures into a like practical example that kind of follows, right? So let's go take a single entry contest, okay? We'll take this $100 single entry, right? First one I saw. You know, we don't really care about entry fee, all that. We care about the payout structure, right? What is like the typical payout structure here? Okay, 15% to first, but this is more important what we want to pay attention to, right? 21% cash rate. Okay, so what does that mean, right? We go look at other single entries. 22% cash, 22.9% cash. You know, what this means is that let's say you played one single entry every single day, Monday through Friday, right? Let's leave the weekend off. Say, hey, I'm playing one single entry lineup Monday through Friday. A 20% cash rate. If you are an average player, you know, you're putting in average lineups, right? You are going to cash one day out of the five you play. Okay. So if you just do this, right, put this in a calculator. Say, hey, what is one divided by five? It's 0.2, which is 20%, right? So you play a single entry Monday, you lose. You play a single entry Tuesday, you lose. You play a single entry Wednesday, you lose. Lose Thursday. Cash Friday, just cash, right? That is a normal outcome. That is like the average of what's going to happen here. And then, you know, the worst part, right, is that, you know, you spend $100 Monday, you lose. You spend $100 Tuesday, you lose. You spend $100 Wednesday, you lose. Thursday, you lose, right? You're down like 400. And then the min cash is like maybe 2x, you know what I mean? So then, you know, you finally cash and then you're still down for the week, right? This is why building for upside is so important, okay? This is why you cannot just try and cash in DFS contests. You have to build lineups that are going, that have a chance of winning, right? And think about it like this. Whether this lineup comes in, you know, 25th percentile in the contest, or whether this lineup comes in, you know, dead last, right? You still won $0, okay? You were right on the border, sure. Doesn't matter, okay? Like, that's why, you know, DFS is kind of like a, if you're not first, you're last approach, at least, you know, the way we talk about it, right, with all this upside and stuff, because you need to win these top prizes, okay? Every once in a while, you're going to need to win this 5K first place prize to survive all those losing weeks, right? Like, we just took you through an average week. You're like, hey, you know, an average week, I lose $200. Like, how does that make any sense? It's because if you're building for upside, you know, there's going to come that one day, those 2 days where you're, you know, top three in this contest, you're winning 5K, you're winning 2K, you're winning 1K. And it's those, you know, few instances that are going to allow you to survive all of those average weeks, right? You go into any contest in flashback here. We go back to, you know, yesterday, right? And we go to let's go to that contest, right? The $1, I'm sorry, the single entry $100, right? It's a regular contest. All right, we go to users. We go to highest sim ROI. Okay, we go to this sim median profit, okay? What is the 50th percentile outcome, the most common occurrence for these players? It's losing $100, okay? These are the highest sim ROIers in the contest, and on average, you know, they lose. they lose their entry, right? But what happens, you know, this is what we're optimizing for, this 1%, this sim 99th percent profit. What happens in 1% of the sims? You know, this player wins the contest, right? A lot of these players are coming in first, coming in second, it looks like. And you know, it's this column that makes up for all of those median losses, okay? So chances are you're probably not doing anything wrong. And I know this one came in from Isaiah. Isaiah, I did a review your lineups in case you missed it on not yesterday, but I believe Friday's show. So I think that would have been, what day would that have been? The 24th. So if you go to our YouTube channel, I'm like almost positive it was Friday. If not, Friday was the previous Monday, but I think it was the 24th. So you go to our YouTube, go to live, go check out the build review show from the 24th here. I'll even drop it here in the YouTube chat. But I did a build review of your contest, lineups, builds, all that, your single entry. You know, we'll obviously be part of that. So go and check it out and get some helpful tips and stuff from there. All right. Good stuff there. Coming back to SaberSim. Next question, what's the best way to limit exposure to an entire team? All right, so a couple different ways to do this. Let's just say, you know, you don't want to play any of a Philly with 107.1 points is the lowest projected team on the slate. Maybe I don't want to play anybody from Philly for one reason or another, right? First thing I can do is just come in here and X them, right? This icon, it lights up red, takes them out of my player pool. Okay, that is the most aggressive thing you can do. Beyond that, it's probably easiest to just filter for the team and then come in here and set some number to the team, right? Maybe you don't want any player above, you know, 25%. Okay, I come in here, I do 25 to each player, takes me about, you know, 10 seconds or something like that. That would work, right? You know, stacking here is only referring, I just want to touch on like the team stacks tab here. This refers to having more than one player on a team, right? So if I come in here and I say, hey, I want to limit my exposure to Philly, this will limit my exposure to lineups having more than one player, right? So like, if I build, you know, 20,000 lineups, every single lineup could have a Philly player. You know, let's even say I say, hey, I don't want any Philly stacks. So it's not to say that I'm not going to get any of them. I'm just not going to get more than one of them, okay? But every lineup could still have one. So kind of depends what you're trying to accomplish, right? If you're worried about stacks, come into the team stacks tab. If you're just worried about individual player exposure, come in and filter and, you know, fill out the max exposure. Now, it is a little bit tedious to come in here and do this to, you know, every single player if you're going to do this for more than one team. There's a couple of different options here, right? I'll go through both of them. Number one is you can set a global max exposure to all the players in your player pool, right? So what this will do is say, hey, I don't want to play any player in more than, you know, 50% of my lineups. I put the 50, I click save. It applies it to every player on the slate, okay? There's no way to do that quickly for an individual team. If you do want to do it on a team-by-team basis, let's say maybe I want to do three teams, right? I want to do Philly. I'm going to do the three lowest. Philly, Utah, and a bunch of teams at 111. The Lakers are lowest, okay? So Philly, Utah, Lakers, right? What I can do, I can download the player table. I can open up the Excel file. You do have to be on Pro or Ultimate to do this. This is the table. I come in, I add some filters. Okay, I'm going to open this up. I'm going to filter for the three teams I want, which I said were the Lakers, Philly, and Utah. And then now that I am filtered for only those three teams, I can come into the max exposure column. You put 25 or whatever number you want in the first two cells. Okay. And then you highlight those two cells and you drag it down, and then it will drag down the same number. Okay. If I only put 25 in one and then I drag it down, it shouldn't do that. If I reset these to zero, let's just go back. If I do 25, it should do 26, I think. Oh, maybe it doesn't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's like an old thing. But 25 across the board. Okay, great. I'm going to turn the filter off. And then I'm going to save that. Close it out. Go to the upload sheet. Upload the CSV back into SaberSim. And then I'm just going to check the headers here. So I just want to make sure that my max exposure is being matched to the right column. It is. Great. I click save. And then now when I go to the Lakers, oh, I see the 25s. You know, when I go to Philly, I see the same. When I go to Utah, I see the same, right? So that's the way you're going to want to do it. One of those two ways. So hopefully that helps you to figure out what works best for you. All right. I see a question here from Great White Shark. I believe I answered this one recently, but let's at least read it. Question looks super familiar. All right. Can you go over reviewing the late swap tab, specifically the ROI change column listed for each swap option? As they often have a range of options, some with positive and some with negative ROI change values. Assume the software is picking the best option. Okay, so first off, let's answer this one. What is the green lineup versus the black? So the green lineup indicates that is your original lineup, the original lineup that we swapped. So sometimes what can happen, right, is that if your lineup was good pre-lock, sometimes it's still a good option post-lock, right? When we run the late swap, you're going to get the same players as a viable swap option, okay? So the green indicates, hey, this is the same lineup that you already had, okay? The black options are your new lineups, are the additional swap options that you now have, okay? So that's that part. So now we're with regard to the ROI change, okay? So remember that, you know, the same way we build lineups pre-build, we do the same thing in late swap. Okay. So what happens is we go into the sims, we sample the sims, we build the best possible lineup. Lineup goes into your pool. Then after lineup goes into your pool, it gets run through the contest sim. Same thing happens in late swap. Okay. The only difference with late swap is that when we go to build the lineup, we put the players who are already locked into the positions that they're in. And then we tell the builder, hey, you know, for this lineup, there is these positions left and there is this much salary. Use the sims you pulled to build the best possible remaining lineup. Okay. So that's the only difference really between pre-slate and late swap is that the players are in there and the builder is using the sims in the same way. It's just rebuilding out what spots are left in the lineup. So after that gets done, lineups go into the pool, right? Once they're in the pool, then you run the late swap, right? So what this is telling you is the late swap of your swap options compared to your original lineup. So let's say your original lineup had, you know, 50% ROI. Well, for when we run the late swap, you know, you're going to get a range, right? You're going to get maybe some lineup. I'll say it again. The builder is summarizing that information for you in the ROI change column. It is saying, hey, compared to your original ROI, this lineup has gone up 10%. This lineup has gone down 10%, right? Part of that is how the players in your lineup are actually doing, right? Did you get off to a good start? Did you roster Anthony Davis and he scored, you know, 22 points in the first quarter like yesterday, right? That's going to help you a ton with your ROI change. Your ROI will probably go up, right? or did you roster, you know, LaMelo Ball and he got hurt and, you know, his points aren't going up as the game persists, your ROI for those lineups are probably going to go down, right? So that's what the ROI change column is telling you. Now, what happens, right, is when you apply or when you save your lineups, we are prioritizing the highest available ROI lineups, right? So fact is, not all of your lineups are going to be positive ROI, but, you know, whether it's negative, you have the option between negative 50% and negative 20%, you know, we're obviously going to go with the negative 20% option because it is higher than the other available option. So the late swap autofill is prioritizing the highest available late swap options for you when you click apply or when you save those lineups. All right. Good stuff there. Good questions here. And looks like we are all caught up here. So why don't we do a build demo, but follow up here. From Great White Shark. He said, I asked because I have a lineup that has greater than 15,000% plus change. Yeah, that's great, right? That lineup is obviously crushing. It's off to a huge start. You know, maybe it was like NFL this weekend and, you know, you have a lineup that has, you know, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown, you know, Dallas Goedert, maybe with like a Ertz run back or something like that, right? You have like this big, you know, QB plus three with a bring back Philly type build, right? That lineup is gonna, you know, start outperforming, you know, massively, right? That lineup is off to a great start. So that's typically like what you'll see here. Oh, he said, I have a lineup that has negative 15,000% plus change. So it would depend on where your lineup started, you know. You would basically have to have three swap windows in order to like get to a point like that, probably, right? So like your pre-slate ROI would be like, I don't know, positive like 100%, right? And then, like, let's say there's three games on the slate, you know, take off like the Lakers, right? So, you know, there's like Houston and then like an hour later is like Milwaukee and then like an hour later is like Utah, right? So what can happen here is like you can get off to like a really strong start with like Houston, Atlanta, right? And your ROI is going to go through the roof. Like you're just crushing the slate, right? And then maybe you have, so like in between Houston, Atlanta, and Milwaukee, Portland, maybe your ROI like shoots up, right? Thousands of thousands percent, right? And then, you know, let's say that, I don't know, you roster Giannis and, you know, he's just playing terrible, right? He's nowhere near his average projection. And, you know, he's having like a 25th percentile outcome game or something like that, right? Well, then, you know, your ROI that was like so high can like shoot back down and like, and then, you know, you could see a massive swing in your ROI percent. That's like the only situation I can kind of think of. I've had those myself, like, for instance, like, I remember like this one specific, like Monday to Thursday slate, absolutely crushed Monday Night Football on like the two game slate. And I had a lineup with like positive 26,000% ROI in my late swap, right? Like heading into Thursday. And then, that game ended up just like nothing went right for me in that game. And I ended up, you know, probably just like cashing or something like that. So, typically you need like three windows to do that. You need to go from like pre-slate to this super high number. And then something needs to happen in like that second game or that middle tier that brings your ROI back down, unfortunately. So that's probably what was happening. And Great White Shark said, original was zero, but to be clear, the builder is picking the best option depending on mini unique selected. Rank obviously picks best. Okay, so two things here, right? So if you feel like something's like off here, you know, with the situation, you know, the situation I described is like probably one of the only ways to get to that outcome. If something else happening, you know, that you're not really sure, but it feels weird, easiest or best thing to do really is go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, tell us what's happening, right? I'm talking in like a bunch of hypotheticals. I'm not like actually seeing it, right? Like our team needs like that report so we can go in and like kind of put eyes on it and like figure out like, hey, what is actually happening here, right? So that's super important for us is to get those reports. That way we could do a deeper dive. So if you feel like something's wrong, do that for us. We can look into it further. Second thing, which is just a clarification here. Oh, yeah, that's the same thing I already did. Second part, but to be clear, the builder is picking the best option depending on menu unique selected. Rank obviously picks best. So yes, absolutely. So a couple things here, right? So the builder will take into account your menu uniques, right? Which can lead to, you know, not the top 20 best options being chosen, right? Because we got to account for that diversification. So trading some ROI for diversification, right? I'd keep an eye on your aggregate metrics when doing that, making that decision. Because you could like set your menu unique, save, check aggregate metrics, change menu unique, save, check aggregate metrics as many times as you want. And then second part is rank obviously picks the best. Yeah. So rank, you know, if you have two lineups with like the same, you know, core, right? And there's like one high swap option, both of those lineups will get the same unless they're in the same contest, right? If you have unique rank on, well, only the top listed contest will get the best swap option. And then the second contest will get a different swap option because you're saying, hey, I want unique lineups in all of my entries, right? So rank will reuse lineups if lineups have the same core and lineups grade out the best across contests, but unique rank will not. So that's the big clarification there. All right. Good stuff there. And had some follow-ups there. Knocked those out. Looks like we're caught up here in the YouTube chat. So it looks like we're all caught up here. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.